Welcome to the Messiah Branch Broadcast, a one-hour prophecy program on the American Voice Radio Network, featuring Pastor Dan of the Messiah's Branch Ministry. And now, here's Pastor Dan.
Greetings, saints, and welcome to the Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour. We're broadcasting live from Kansas, and we're on the American Voice Radio Network. Today's date is March 23rd, 2023. The world is in turmoil. Most still don't realize it, but we are in that time of the end, and that's the time before Messiah's glorious return. So it's time to get out of sin, the world, and look to the holy city. Look to the one who suffered and died for you. Did you not hear the sound of the shofar? Heed the warning. Get right now before it's too late. If you need help after this program, call me. I'll pray for you or with you. If you get the machine, leave your name, number, prayer request, and or message. The phone number, of course, 620-878-4682. And in emergency, my cell phone number is 316-619-4886. And if you use the cell phone number, make sure you text me first so I know you're not a robocall. Find updates with the breaking news all about the Wichita Mission Church radio program archives, contact information. All this is at our ministry hub, which is very simply prophecyhour.com. That's right, prophecyhour.com. Remember, folks, we're a national satellite radio program, which is simulcast on the net internationally. It's on some independent FM stations, four different MP3 streams, Twitch, Rumble, PhoneBridge, and picked up by every podcaster out there. On another note, let's thank our listener base that is worldwide in places like London, the United Kingdom, Tomsk, Russia, Korea, Sweden, and of course, cities in the good old United States such as Irvine, California, Washington, D.C., Houston, Texas, and Hutchinson, Kansas. Yep, last week you were the largest group of listeners to our radio programs, that is, from the podcast site. We have no idea how many people are listening live right now, but I know it's a lot. By the way, folks, send me a text to my phone. Let me know what city you're hailing from. We'll have a prayer and we'll bring on tonight's guest. Dear Heavenly Father, in Yeshua HaMashiach's name I pray. Father, I pray radio tonight goes according to your will and not our will, Father. And please give everyone out there ears in which to hear and understand the truth. So please, Father Yahweh, in your Son, Yeshua HaMashiach's mighty name, bless this program tonight. Amen and amen. Well, folks, a poll was conducted by the Frontier Center Ear to the Ground Project and was reported on by Paul Better of the Washington Examiner on January 8, 2021. The results were that 71% of Americans believed that the United States of America was headed into a civil war. A more current poll by Zogby found a plurality of Americans, 46%, believed a future civil war was very likely. I personally believe barring something major like a nuclear war, which is really possible right now, didn't think I'd catch myself saying that, but I strongly believe that the Civil War is right here close to us. Tonight, so we bring on with us an author of many books. Some included in these are Stealth Jihad, The Truth About Muhammad, The Politically Incorrect Guide to Islam, The Crusades, and Who Lost Afghanistan. He's led seminars for the FBI, the U.S. Central Command, U.S. Army Command, and General Staff College in the Asymmetric Warfare Group, along with the Joint Terrorism Task Force, which is JTTF. His name, of course, is Robert Spencer. He is the director of Jihad Watch, and his website is jihadwatch.org. We'll make sure there's a link to that when these go to podcast later tonight. He was last on radio with us on June 4th, 2009. At that time, we talked about Obama in Egypt and his Muslim roots. We also spoke about his book, Stealth Jihad. Tonight, we're really blessed to have him on back with us to speak of his new book. It's called The Sumter Gamut, How the Left is Trying to Foment a Civil War Since at Least the 1960s. Well, welcome, Robert. Are you there with me?
Yes, I am. Thank you.
I am so glad to have you on. To have somebody of your caliber and an author of many accurate books that, well, in reality, a lot of the books that you write already, people aren't, you know, I'll say brave enough to speak for the truth, especially in the age that we're in right now. Everybody's worried about being canceled. But so tell the people, what's this, the Sumter Gambit all about? Give us a little lead in.
Yeah. The Sumter Gambit, of course, the title comes from the first Civil War that the United States fought from 1861 to 65. And it was based on the proposition that the, well, okay, let me explain in the first place that it started when both sides were trying to get the other side to start it. That the South declared its independence and claimed all the territory south of the Mason-Dixon line, and that included Fort Sumter in Charleston Harbor, South Carolina, where there was a garrison of Union troops. The Union troops did not evacuate. They kept the fort. And so the South wanted the Union to just leave them alone and abandon the fort, but they didn't. Meanwhile, Abraham Lincoln, the President of the United States, wanted the South to fire on the fort, and that would start the Civil War. And then he could say the South started it and not look like the aggressor. And so what happened was the South told him they were claiming the fort, it was their territory, and that he should evacuate. And if he attempted to get supplies to the troops that were in the fort, they would consider that an act of war and fire. And so that's what happened. He reinforced the fort, and they fired, and the war started. Now, the whole point of telling that story is to say that the left is trying to goad patriots today into doing the same kind of thing, into doing something like firing on Fort Sumter that they can use to do nothing less than start a new civil war. And they use the so-called uprising or insurrection as a pretext to crush all dissent, because the left is made up of a bunch of authoritarians and totalitarians. They do not believe in free society. They do not like the free society that we still have here, and they want to destroy it and silence all dissenters. So they want to use the new Fort Sumter moment as their pretext to shut down all opposition and to come out strongly with their real authoritarian agenda. That's the idea, and that's what I'm talking about in the book.
Oh, amen. That sounds strikingly like what they tried to do with January 6th. Is that along that what we're talking about?
Yeah, absolutely, Pastor. The January 6th business was a big example of that, and it's a big part of the book as a result, that they set the whole thing up. And it's even clearer now that they did that after Tucker Carlson's recent revelation from the January 6th videos that had never before been released, that what happened was people were let in, they were invited in to the Capitol. They went in, took some selfies. Nobody thought that they were doing anything wrong because the police had left open the doors and said they could come in. And then they found to their dismay that they were being charged with an insurrection. The whole thing was a setup. It was a setup to provide the left with its Reichstag fire moment. The Reichstag was the congressional building in Germany in 1933. And on February 27, 1933, less than a month after Adolf Hitler became Chancellor of Germany, the Reichstag burnt down. And Hitler blamed the Communist Party. Now, the Communist Party, those are not good guys, but in this case, they were the scapegoats for what happened, because Hitler wanted to become a dictator. And he had become the chancellor of a republic. But the republic had a provision in its constitution that the chancellor could be given dictatorial powers on a temporary basis at the time of a national emergency. And he wanted to trigger that, but he needed a majority in the Reichstag to vote for it, and the communists prevented him from having a majority in the Reichstag. So he took care of all this in one motion with the Reichstag fire. He blamed the communists, and then he outlawed the Communist Party, expelled them from the Reichstag, and then he had his majority and was voted dictatorial powers. And that was the end of the German Weimar Republic and the beginning of the dictatorship of Nazi Germany. Now, the parallel here is in the January 6th insurrection, the Biden people, the Democrats, the left in general, are trying to use that. They created it, and they're trying to use it as an excuse to do the same kind of thing, essentially, effectively, to outlaw the opposition. And Joe Biden, I also discussed this in the book, he gave a strong indication of this last September in his very ominous red and black speech with the Marines behind him and so on. And he said Donald Trump and the MAGA Republicans are a threat to the very foundations of the Republic. That's the kind of language that Hitler was using when he outlawed the Communist Party. Now, here again, Communist Party, not good guys, but there are no good guys in that story. In this story, there are. The people he's talking about are decent, law-abiding Americans. They're not a threat to the Republic. They are the Republic. They are the foundations of the Republic. But what he wants to do is use this January 6th as a pretext, just like Hitler used the Reichstag fire, to outlaw opposition. And so we're on a very dangerous path in the United States, where the party in power does not respect the system that has prevailed in the United States since 1776, does not respect the idea of a loyal opposition and of any opposition at all, and wants to destroy any kind of opposition. And so they are using the whole, they've made up the whole January 6th business in order to do that, to criminalize dissent in the United States.
Okay, I totally agree with that. Some key things here. We've got clearly a lot we can cover here. In order to do this, there had to be a right mindset, so to speak, in well, half of the country and the news media. The news media in itself, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, you know, to me, they're the other part of the government, where it's called we the people. I don't think our forefathers ever considered that the whole news media would be owned literally by one side, basically. And, you know, so we're not, the people aren't getting the right information. But also, isn't this been going down through the schools? Talk about that.
Yeah, see, this is all in the book, that they have this all planned out. They've had this planned out for years. This actually started in the 1960s, and nobody on our side was paying attention then. But they began what they called the Long March Through the Institution, and it was the attempt to gain control over virtually all of the institutions in the United States. And they've done it now. They control the educational system, the political system, the media, even the entertainment industry, everything. And the educational system is the absolute cornerstone of this whole initiative. And it's where they have established their hegemony most thoroughly. Because the educational system, you see, is where the next generation is formed. And so this is why they've destroyed American education. That no longer do you go to school and actually learn something useful. All you do is go to school and learn how to be a homosexual or learn how to be a communist, and the drag queens are performing and their books about being gay and all this business, and they are trying to weaken the children's connection to their parents. And ultimately, the whole transgender agenda is designed to get them hooked on pharmaceuticals and alienated from their families so that their only loyalty is to the state. And they have no other allegiance. Everything else has been swept away. The educational system also has been gutted so that people do not have the ability to think critically. And so they can't question what the left is telling them because they don't know how.
Right.
They don't know how to think anymore. All they know is diversity and multiculturalism, and the founding fathers were racist, and all this nonsense that they're taught in the schools nowadays.
Well, isn't that what communism does? They try to destroy your history so that, you know, you don't know where we're at. Isn't that basically communist doctrine?
Yes, definitely. That, see, all the other allegiances have to be swept away. You have no allegiance other than to the state. And so this is why we see the removal of the statues, that not only do mobs come and take the statues down, but also even government. And the government in the city of New York took away the statue of Theodore Roosevelt. What's wrong with Theodore Roosevelt? Well, probably they wouldn't be able to articulate that if you asked them. But the idea is that the American people are supposed to be made ashamed of their culture and heritage and being told that all of it is bad and wrong and that the founding fathers were racist slave owners and everybody that followed them was were more racist, and there's nothing good in the American history. And so if you have a people that has been taught to be ashamed of their own history and culture, then they're not going to defend that history and culture. Right. And so when you have the predators come and say, we're going to replace your history and culture, instead of having people rise up and say, no, we are proud of being American, we are proud of the founding fathers, and we're going to defend our history and our culture and our society that these things come from. No, you're going to instead have people just say, oh yeah, good. We know that all this is evil, and so we are happy that you're sweeping it away.
Yeah, I'm really, while I watched all this happen, I've been on talk radio since, right after 9/11, and I've been talking about these things, but then it just seemed like there was a great rush forward, like about towards the end of Obama's presidency, where I started seeing them like transform the military. Because I know during Clinton's, there was a thing that went out, some kind of survey or something, I don't remember exactly what it was, and it says, would American soldiers, would they fire on an American citizen, like to confiscate weapons or whatever? And there was an outrage about it. But now, the military has transformed, hasn't it?
Yeah, and that started with Obama. Obama went in and gutted the military. He pressured people who were patriots to take early retirement. He replaced them with people who were willing to aid and abet the politicization of our military and allow in the leftist agenda in a way that it had never been present in the military before that. And in doing that, he created the situation that we have now, where we have the military being more interested in implementing critical race theory and making sure that the troops are vaccinated and things like that, rather than actually learning how to win wars and defend the country. These things are not priorities. We saw that most vividly with the catastrophically botched withdrawal from Afghanistan. Now, the withdrawal from Afghanistan was telegraphed like nothing else has ever been. The whole world knew we were leaving and when we were leaving. And the military even assured the American people that it had a coherent plan in place for how to get everybody out safely. But this turned out not to be true. And it became abundantly clear quite quickly that nobody had a plan, that nobody had made even the most basic preparation for getting us out safely. And so the whole thing ended up a disaster of monstrous proportion. And this is because, quite clearly, the military spent the summer of 2021 instead of preparing for an orderly withdrawal from Afghanistan, in implementing the far left social agenda in the military. And so it's no wonder that what happened is what happened.
Yeah, absolutely. And I've read a lot of reports, about it. And like one military guy, I don't want to give names or whatever, but was talking about how he could have took out the guy that set off the bomb that killed all those people, at the withdrawal, and he was not allowed to do so. And leaving that all that equipment, I mean, couldn't they have did something else? I mean, like dismantled equipment or something, but it was like we gave them an army. didn't we?
Yeah, and you got to wonder, you know, what's the agenda there? It seems as if everything that the Biden regime does is designed to weaken the United States. And so you got to wonder, is this, are they just fantastically incompetent, or do they want to weaken the United States? Is that really what they're all about? And I think that that's a serious question at this point, that maybe that's the objective. That's what they want to do, and they're going about it in a purposeful manner. It's not that they're inept. It's not that they're stupid. It's that they want this. They want to see the United States humiliated on the world stage. They want to see the $7.5 billion worth of weaponry left for the Afghan Taliban and for the Chinese and so on, because they want to weaken the United States. Now, then you got to ask, well, if that were so, then why on earth would an American presidency, an American administration, want to weaken its own country? And then you have to look at the fact that we are governed right now by a bunch of people who are socialist internationalists. And they don't believe in the nation state. They don't believe in countries. And we are the foremost nation state in the world. If they take us down, they can take all the rest of them down.
Right, right, right. Okay, look, we're going to go to a break in just about 30 seconds or something. Now, working at jihadwatch.org, can they find listings of your books and everything over there?
Yes, indeed. It's all there.
Okay. Don't you have an email that they can sign up to and get, like, articles from you over there or something like that?
Yeah, absolutely. Jihadwatch Daily Digest, and you can go over to jihadwatch.org, and you'll see that on the right sidebar, and can sign up there.
Okay. Robert, we're going to go to a break, and folks, we're going to go to a break, and we're going to come back after break. We're going to talk a little bit more with Robert. I know his time's valuable, but he's going to share a little more with us. So let's go to a break, and we'll be back in about 4 minutes.
Go away. Pastor Dan will be right back. In Genesis 41, tells a story of Pharaoh having a dream of 7 fat ears of corn followed by 7 blasted ones, meaning there's 7 years of plenty, and then there was 7 years of famine following. We are now in 7 years of famine once again, starting September 25th of 2021. Joseph's Kitchen is about getting actual wheat berries, putting them through a mill, takes 30 seconds, putting it along with the ingredients into a bread machine, pushing a button, 2 hours, 20 minutes later, you have a nice steaming hot loaf of whole wheat bread. Most long-term storage food is from $9,000 to $10,000, one person, 1 year. At Joseph's Kitchen, it's 2 people, 1 year, about $2,000. Then you decide whether you want to have food for one person, 1 year, 2 people, 1 year, 4 people, 1 year, or 6 people, 1 year, all at josephskitchen.com. That's right, about $1,000 per person per year at josephskitchen.com. josephskitchen.com.
In this time of the social and spiritual breakdown of America and the world, in these prophetic end times, God is calling multitudes of Christians to the Ozarks and other safe havens around the world to survive so they can spread the gospel. The Ark Haven Intentional Neighbors Vision is to prepare Christians physically, mentally, and spiritually for these end times. Thousands are coming to the Ozark Mountains in Arkansas and Missouri, where even the CIA says it's one of the safest places on earth. The Intentional Neighbors concept allows Christian neighbors to own adjacent land to each other so they can aid and help each other. The community is exploding with nurses, a doctor, and other professionals, as well as many others. If you cannot afford to buy a house, you can rent a house. Call 479-502-1789. That's 479-502-1789. Or visit arkhaven.org. That's arkhaven.org. Tell them Pastor Dan sent you.
we are back. This is Pastor Dan Catlin, and you're listening to Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour on the American Voice Radio Network. Well, we're going to get right back with Robert Spencer. We're talking about his new book, The Subtler Gamut, and we'll all talk to you about the Mission Church at the end of the program. Anyway, are you still with me, Robert?
I am right here. Thank you.
Yeah, amen. Something that I haven't got found anybody sound enough to talk about it yet, the critical race theory. It sounds like they're trying to start, actually, a race war. Am I off on that? What is the real thing behind it?
Oh, you're absolutely right. It is trying to start a race war. It's trying to increase race resentment and make it impossible for there to be any resolution and peaceful coexistence between the races in the United States. The idea is that there is deep racism embedded within the structures of the United States, of American society. And so, see, this is a new strategy. It used to be that when there were civil rights, there was the civil rights movement, they could point to incidents of actual racism, you know, segregation and so on, and that was the basis for their campaign. But then that was outlawed with the Civil Rights Act of 1964, and racism became a massive social stigma as well as being illegal, and race discrimination being illegal, I mean. And so it virtually disappeared from the United States, and this left the race hucksters, the people who made their living off race resentment, like Al Sharpton and Jesse Jackson and so on, they were out of work. They were casting about for an idea, and they found it in this critical race theory idea that the racism is not people breaking the Civil Rights Act laws and not people who are going against the obvious stigma that racism has been attached to racism since the 1960s, but it's built into everything that we do, and so you can't get rid of it. It's all over you, and even if you think you're not a racist, you really are, because if you're white, you've been benefiting from all these systems that favor you. Now, this is absurd on its face, because as I just said, it's been illegal to discriminate on the basis of race for 60 years in the United States. And so if people have had experiences of losing out on a job or something like that, they have sued, they have won, and these injustices have been redressed. But now it's opened up this whole new thing that you don't really have to have any racism. Everything is racist. It's all over it. Everywhere. It's like the air that we breathe. And so this has given new life to the race resentment huckster. And unfortunately, they make their living by sowing division in the United States. And we see it all the time with black Americans being resentful and angry and thinking that they are being disadvantaged. And it's become kind of absurd. I remember seeing Saturday Night Live, the supposed comedy show, when Trump won the election in 2016. And the Saturday Night Live skit was a couple of women and a couple of black men watching the returns come in. And and everybody was all upset, of course, because all the leftists who put out Saturday Night Live, they just thought of that as the Trump victory was a terrible tragedy. And at one point in the skit, one of the women says that Trump and these people, they don't realize what it's like to go through life second class. Nobody knows what it's like for women. And the two black men look at each other ruefully, because, of course, the idea is that they're trying to give is that they go through life oppressed because they are black. And I thought, okay, here are a couple of comedians and actors who have probably made more money in the last week than I've made in my lifetime. And there they are whining and posturing about being oppressed. And, you know, it's a cultural trope, but there's nothing to it. There's no substance to it.
Yeah, it's to me, it's complete insanity, and it goes back to, you know, well, in order to pull this off, they had to take over the educational system in order to do so. And I had talked about it for years, and there's a couple of good authors that have, you know, been warning about this, but it's like, you know, America was so comfortable and got so comfortable in things that, you know, they just weren't paying attention. I know when I first started, I came out of the world and I helped a ministry called the Prophecy Club years ago. I mean, these kind of things would absolutely outrage everybody, but now it's just like, wow. But so do you think that, wasn't Trump a surprise to them? I mean, they didn't really think he could win, did they?
No, they didn't. They didn't think he could win, and they didn't think he would win. And so when he did win, they were not only shocked, but they were drawn out. And this is extraordinarily important because, really, our awareness of the whole leftist agenda and of their totalitarian goal stems from Trump's victory. It's because Trump won that we know this is happening. And so, really, it's kind of ironic that Trump wasn't everything that patriots would have wanted, and he didn't succeed in everything that he wanted to do. And yet, even in his failure, he did a great service to the American people because he revealed what the left is up to. They had to come out in the open to try to destroy him. And so now we know that there is a deep state, that there are these entrenched bureaucrats in Washington who are really running the government. And it doesn't matter who's president. They're just going to do what they want. And we didn't know they were there before that. We thought they did what the president wanted. But then there came in a president with views so different from theirs, since they're all leftists, that they had to declare themselves. And so now we know. And now we know that most of the Republican Party is useless. It's not really opposition. It's controlled opposition.
Yeah.
It's just people who are echoing the left's agenda and maybe saying we can do it more efficiently or we'll do it a little more slowly, but they're not going to do something different. They're going to do the same left's agenda. And so now we know that that's the case. When before that, you know, I thought, and I'm sure most Americans thought, before Trump was elected, that there were actually two parties in the United States. And I didn't know that he lived in a one-party state. Now I know. And so these things came about. You know, Trump himself didn't realize, I think, that these things were the way they are. And it all came out by accident. But now we are in a much better position, actually. And I know a lot of people are very upset, very scared, and hopeless. And I understand, actually, that feeling, because these people are very powerful, and they seem to be so deeply entrenched. But also, we are so much better off than we were in 2015, when nobody knew any of this that's going on. And now millions of Americans are aware of it, and aware of how deeply threatened our freedoms are.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. It was like I've been calling it the great revealing, you know, when he came, because, man, they just started being, I guess, honest, so to speak, if you will, and saying what they were about. But this is actually the United States. This is part of a much bigger picture, isn't it? This is actually a globalist agenda, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. And that's one of the reasons why the southern border is essentially fictional now, because these people are indeed globalists. They hate nation states. They want to destroy the United States as the world's foremost nation state. And so this is one of the reasons why they want to flood the whole country with people who don't necessarily share our values. They want to destroy the values that the country is built upon and is ostensibly stands for.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. I know another a question that arises with people all the time, but so basically is it like Black Lives Matter and Antifa? Basically, these are their foot soldiers, so to speak.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely. And their idea is to frighten, to terrorize, just like Islamic jihadis want to strike terror in the unbelievers. It's the same thing with Antifa and Black Lives Matter. The idea is to terrorize Americans and make them so afraid to dissent that they'll fall in line with what the left wants, even if they hate it.
Right, right, absolutely. Absolutely. You know, you do excellent work. There's probably two small things that I wanted to ask you about. You know what? I'm 67 years old. You know, I almost got drafted. I almost had to go to Kansas City for a physical, but Richard Nixon said no more draft. Wasn't that pretty much dirty pool what happened with Nixon, or do you think he was the bad guy they said he was?
Well, you know, I think that it is very likely, knowing what we know now, that there were people who were entrenched in the Washington bureaucracy who wanted Nixon gone. And the reason why I say that is not because he did not. It does seem as if he was involved in trying to cover up the Watergate break-in. But who was behind the break-in in the first place? And why was it made such a big deal when we know that there are a great many other very similar incidents in American history where presidents were involved in something that they covered up and so on, and it didn't result in resigning in disgrace and all the rest of it.
Right.
And so you gotta wonder, why did it in this case?
Yeah.
And why was it such a big deal that the a president who'd been overwhelmingly reelected and carried 49 of the 50 states, is within a couple of years has to be gone. It's extraordinary, and I think that it is very, like I say, very likely that there was leftist machinations going on here. It's the same thing also with JFK. I never would have said it before, but now I gotta wonder, you know, did he get in their way in some way? And so the same people who have shown themselves to be utterly unscrupulous and to have no conscience, maybe they put him out of the way.
Right. Military-industrial complex. Isn't that was that Eisenhower or Kennedy?
Yeah, that was Eisenhower. Interesting to note, Eisenhower alerted us to the military-industrial complex and how dangerous it was right as he was leaving office or right after. I don't remember if it was just before he left or right after, but in any case, he was on his way out. Trump is the only other president who has mentioned the existence of the military-industrial complex. And I don't think it's any accident that he was ganged up upon in such a remarkable and unprecedented manner, and they had to get him out of office.
Right.
It may be because he was, among other things, about to blow the whistle and raising awareness. Well, he was saying we shouldn't be involved in these endless wars. Well, we were involved in those endless wars because they were very profitable. And this is why we're involved in Ukraine now, that it's profitable for certain people. And so, this is something that very few American presidents have dared to point out. And I think what happened to Trump is an indication of why.
Yeah. I agree. You know, to me, it's kind of easy to see, you know, I mean, we're dumping all our weapons there, so now all of a sudden we have to be completely rearmed, right? You know, and so that paves the way for new weapons and everything, and so some people are going to get extremely rich. My worry is just how far the Ukraine thing can go before it actually goes nuclear, something I'm really praying against, but, wow. You covered a lot of things today, brother. So is there any hope? There you go. Is there any hope?
There's always hope. You know, it's not over. They do not have a totalitarian state established. And so they may never do so. As long as something hasn't happened, then we don't have to just sit back and assume that it's going to. And I think that there are abundant signs of hope. One of them is just in the raising of awareness that I was just talking about, that people are far more knowledgeable about what's going on now than they were quite recently. And so there's a great reason for hope in that.
Yeah, amen. Well, I believe there's always hope. And, you know, I think that the people need to gain your voices back. We've been complicit, I believe, for so long that, you know, we need to regain our voices. Just because they're loud doesn't mean that we can't win. And we'll, and, you know, I got faith in our Father too. So, amen. Well, any final word or, that was a really great interview. Thank you.
Well, I appreciate that. It's good to talk to you. And, I would just want to emphasize that at the end. I was born in the great state of South Carolina, and the state motto is Dum Spiro Spero. While I breathe, I hope. And so we have to, as the great saint once said, pray, hope, and don't worry. Continue to do what's right, to trust in God. And it may be that history will be just as full of surprises as it always has been before, and we might end up coming out of this okay.
Yeah, amen. I still believe there's more of us than there are of them. I just believe that we need to get our voice back. Okay, thanks for being on with me, brother, and maybe we'll do it again sometime. But thank you for all your work that you do, because you've got some really great books like The Critical Quran and things. And so, people, you need to go over and check his website. Well, thank you, and you be blessed, brother. Goodbye and shalom to you.
You too. Thank you.
All right, bye-bye. Okay, folks. That was Robert Spencer, and again, you need to go over to his website. That's jihadwatch.org. You can find a listing of all his books there. He brings great awareness to, like it says, jihad. You know, that was where his work was at. I was kind of surprised over this book, but not, because you can sign up to his Daily Digest, and you can get a lot of emails about a lot of important things that are going on, and so I just really, really pray that you'll take this program to heart. What can you do? There's a big question. What can you do? I saved that for last in asking. Well, hope and pray, but we need to be active. You know, what happened to the church? I believe all this came about, and the timing of it was when Lyndon Johnson brought the Johnson Amendment in, and the church turned into a 501c corporation. And with that, we couldn't do any political speech. And so the major churches, the major denominations started shutting up. They used to preach from the pulpit. That's what the problem is with Johnson. You know, he was a drunkard and a womanizer, they said, in Texas. He was a senator then. And so they wanted to shut him up. And so they couldn't do it. So he comes up with the Johnson Amendment, which gives a whole, made the church, those big organized churches, rich. It allowed them to own property and do things in a way that was never allowed before, and do business without taxes, without being taxed. Actually, we'll bring Frank on sometime, because Frank really told us about how that was, so he can do a real good job with that. We'll bring him on and talk about that sometime. But the point of the matter is, they shut up. They started preaching and screaming from the pulpit that this guy was a womanizer or a bad guy or a communist or whatever, and they shut up. And then what did we see after? We saw that abortion exploded, you know. They got away with that. Then they was able to get away with teaching all this garbage in the schools, and they slowly took over about the schools. While schools are supposed to be run independently, and we talked about that tonight, they're supposed to be independent, but they say, well, okay, we'll give you some extra funding for this or that, but in order to get that funding, we want you to allow this curriculum or allow this rule or that rule. And so if you get federal funding, they can control you. Well, the government wasn't ever supposed to do that. You know, we were supposed to be independent states, but we're no longer independent. We're you know, dependent upon the federal government for so much. Now, where people say, well, what about Florida and Ron DeSantis? Well, I like a lot of the things that he's doing there, but it still looks like he has some, really has some advice from deep state and some other things I can't truly say. I know that he was trying to stealthily run for president. I don't believe that he can beat Trump out for president, but what are they going to do? They're not making charges stick on President Trump. Just like the bogus one where he was supposed to be arrested. There was evidence come out within the last few days that shows that it's totally bogusly a lie. Even Stormy Daniels put a letter out saying that Trump did not buy her off and that they never had an affair. There's tons of things, but we're seeing repeatedly, whether it's in the January 6th thing where the prosecutor withheld evidence that would have benefited the January 6th protesters, not insurrectionists, the protesters that were allowed to walk right in, right? That would have, you know, helped them. But it was withheld. In the same way with this Trump thing in the grand jury. The grand jury, there was information that was withheld from the grand jury about Trump. And so then you have that. But in all of this, you look at the evil out there. America is turning into Babylon. Evil's everywhere. But why is it allowed? Why is it allowed? Why was it allowed? Because the church shut their mouth. In fact, the church, many, many churches, how many churches do you know are people, you know, that gay people go to church and claim to be Christian? Well, we've covered that on radio, too. You can't be a homosexual and be doing being an abomination and claim you're of Christ because you're denying what the Word says. You can't deny the Word. The point of the matter is we need to find our voice. We are required to speak up. You know, we are required to speak up. So why aren't people? Then you have this other thing that I was going to, that I was actually going to do a whole radio program on it, and I still may do it. Where people, I was talking to a Christian the other day, and what do they say? They say, well, Pastor Dan, you know, we're supposed to judge, and we're not supposed to judge. Well, where did you get that idea? Well, where they get that idea is where you should have said, judge not lest you be judged by the same manner in which you're judging. You know, get the stick out of your eye or pole or tree or whatever out of your eye before you do so. But you are supposed to righteously judge. But they just use that judge not to get you, to shut you up. And that's what they've been doing. And Americans are allowing themselves to be shut up. You can't be shut up. This is what the Word says. But I'm going to go back to Ezekiel chapter 33 for this, and I want you to listen really closely. So, anyway, again, the Word of Yahweh came into me saying, Son of man, speak unto the children of thy people and say unto them, when I bring a sword upon the land, if the people of the land take a man of their coast and set him up for the watchman, if he seeth the sword come upon the land, he blow the trumpet and warn the people. Then whosoever heareth the sound of the trumpets and taketh not the warning, if the sword come, then take him away, his blood shall be upon his head. He heard the sound of the trumpet, and he took not your warning, his blood shall be upon him. But he that taketh the warning shall deliver his soul. So it's telling you, you are supposed to warn, right? But let's go on, it gets deeper. But if the watchman see the sword come and blow not the trumpet, and the people not be warned, if the sword come and take away any person from among them, he is taken away in his iniquity. Iniquity, if you look it up, is lawlessness. If you look up lawlessness and see what that is, that's being without Torah. But his blood, it says, will I require at the watchman's hand. So if you don't warn the wicked and the watch and they die, then you're responsible for his death. So thou, O son of man, I have set thee a watchman upon the house of Israel. Therefore thou shalt hear the word of thy mouth and warn them from me. Remember, we're grafted into Israel, so you're all out there. We're Israel. When I say unto the wicked, O wicked man, thou shalt surely die. If thou dost not speak to warn the wicked from his way, that wicked man shall die in his iniquity. But his blood I will require at thy hand. Listen to that. When I say unto the wicked, O wicked man, thou shalt surely die. If thou don't speak to warn the wicked from his way, that wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood I require at your hand. Because you what? You didn't warn the wicked. So if you don't judge, how can you warn the wicked? Nevertheless, if thou warn the wicked of his way to turn from it, and if he does not turn from his way, he shall die in his iniquity, his lawlessness. But then it says, but thou shalt has delivered thy soul. So what do you do? So if you warn the wicked like you're supposed to do, you're delivering your soul. You're doing the right thing, and we are called to do that. So pray about it, folks. What you can do to help is get a voice. Support those that have a voice. Right now we have a voice on talk radio. You wouldn't believe how many times I've been they've tried to cancel me, whether it's on Facebook or whatever. By the way, Facebook, now it's past, it's a Daniel Catlin Sr., Daniel Catlin Sr. That's how you find us on Facebook, because that got hacked and taken away. And there is an email list that you can sign up for on our website called prophecyhour.com, but you can sign up to get daily updates. every time they, you know, a daily digest that'll tell you all the articles that we put over there. Share the articles. Share this radio program. Pray about supporting Wichita Mission Church. We're serving, we're taking care of over 100 people at a time, and we're taking care of the homeless and poor. Let's get that straight. So many people say, well, Pastor Dan, the homeless. Yes, that is my calling and part of my mission. But we're also taking care of very poor people that can barely pay their rent, old people, mom and pops, grandma and grandpas, people with children. They're coming to us for food, and we're feeding them because, you know, food isn't as abundant as it seems, and food stamps were just cut way back, or they're going to be for sure in May when the emergency is over with. So pray about supporting Messiah's Branch. We really could use your help. My preference is that you donate by PayPal, but you can donate online. You can use a Cash App, mail a check or money order, call and give a donation over the phone. You can find all that information at where? ProphecyHour.com. ProphecyHour.com. Now, our guest tonight, go over there and subscribe to his email list. You know, that's a great thing. Get some of his books. I can't wait. I haven't even read the Sumter book yet, but I'm going to. I'm going to order it because I didn't ask him for a copy, but I'm sure he would have blessed us with one. So pray about it. Anyway, let's go on with this. But remember, folks, there is only one true God. Who is he? He is your Father. You should have said, call him Father. He is your Father. He is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. His Son is Yeshua HaMashiach. He gave his life for repentant sins, and he rose after 3 days and three nights on the heart of the earth. And through him, and only through him, is where the Father. Honor him. Keep Passover this year and the Feast of Unleavened Bread. That's coming real soon. Remember what? Always, always, always be a blessing to others. Please pray for the peace of Jerusalem, because that's praying for Yeshua's return. Because without Yeshua coming in this world and setting this thing right, it's not ever going to be right. And therefore, no peace. Lord our God, Father King Universe, asking Yeshua HaMashiach's name, Father, that you would please, please, please bless and keep them, and that your face would shine upon them, and that you would please be gracious to them and give them peace like no one or nothing else can. Until an hour from now, this is Pastor Dan saying goodbye and shalom. You all be blessed.
You've just heard the Messiah's Branch broadcast featuring Pastor Dan. To contact Dan on the internet, go to messiahsbranch.org. To write to Dan, send a note to Messiah's Branch, 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Tune in next time for Messiah's Branch.